Doug Armstrong joins us on the phone right now to talk about the series and maybe a memory or two about his dad being a linesman, and now you can't get mad at referees and officials, Doug. So it's an interesting time for you.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, I probably have a little more patience than my brethren in the management, but I find that's waning as the years pass by.
Particularly after game three, so.
Yeah. not one of my more prouder moments after that game.
No.
I know you're tired of talking about this. You've got to be. But on January the 3rd, you were the St. Louis Blues were the worst team in
the
National
Hockey League.
How could
you be tired of talking this? This is one of the great stories.
But I mean, I know everybody's been asked. The coach has been asked. The players have been asked, and I know I'm sure Doug has been asked. You had to feel like it was you were on the verge of a lost year, and you know what kicked in. You obviously had confidence in this group a lot more than almost anybody else would have. There was almost nothing to lead you to believe, at least me to believe, that a turnaround of this magnitude was even possible. It's almost unprecedented in the history of all sport. What were you thinking back then, Doug?
Well, yeah, we were, we'd obviously not had the start that we wanted, and our October and November were interesting because we played some really good hockey. And a lot of those games in those 2 months, we were tied or leading going into the third period, but we found ways to lose games and not get points. And we had to make a coaching change, which was very difficult because I'm a big Mike Yeo fan. But it was just a team that we were hoping to get more out of. And then we were playing good hockey again, but not getting the wins. And we got to early January, and it was an interesting because we didn't. I don't think we ever lost more than three in a row, but we never put any long winning streaks together. So we were just sort of muddling along, and as the games were starting to go by, and we had just a ton of road games coming in January, February, and March. So I thought. Even if we did turn it around, quite honestly, I didn't know if we'd have enough runway to land the plane and then get into the playoffs. And, all cards on the table. I went to the U18 tournament in Russia because we had our number one pick that we traded to Buffalo was top 10 protected. And at that point, I wasn't sure if we'd be picking in the top 10. So I went over there to work with our scouts and meet with them just in case. And when we were over there, we started that winning streak and, I was lucky the guys let me come back into the country because we were winning. I thought they might just tell me to stay in Russia, but they they allowed me to come back and witness it. And, just credit goes to the players and Craig's ability to get them to max out every day. And there was no indication except in, like, small things that we were doing better, but it wasn't turning into wins. And then when they started to turn into wins, it never stopped. And we're riding that wave, and hopefully we don't hit the shore for another couple of weeks before we have to paddle back out.
But before Christmas, when you were waning, there were a ton of stories out there, and you and I actually had a couple of conversations via text that you were miffed at stories, even maybe being created that said you were thinking of moving every player on the roster. How close were you to making change?
Well, we were... entertaining names, at least internally discussing names that we wouldn't have discussed before. And not that we were actively looking to move those guys, but this was a team that we had high expectations for. And it wasn't just that we had a couple of bad months. We were coming off a really disappointing second half last year. So I would imagine, guys, if you look at our total 2018 from January 1 to December 31, we were probably one of the bottom four or five teams in the league over that time frame. And so it wasn't just the start of this season that was concerning. It was the ending of last season. And so it was starting to become concerning, and we got into January and we were hoping for the best, starting to plan for the worst. And ultimately we never had to get to the plan for the worst. The guys turned it around, and thankfully they did, because I always, you believe in those guys, but the proof's in the pudding, and at the end of the day, they showed their mettle, and they got us back into the race, and as they say, the rest is history.
On January 7th, Berube put Jordan Binnington in goal. Here, a 25-year-old rookie, essentially. A guy who was highly thought of, I think, in the organization. But I'm guessing the fact that he was 25 before he got the call indicates that you weren't 100% sure he was the guy. Was that just a move to give Jake Allen some rest? Or was it something that you saw or the organization saw in him that you thought it's his time?
I would say a little bit of both. We had traded Johnson had ended up going on waivers to Anaheim. It created the space we wanted. We had two young goaltenders, a younger one that actually was our number three and starting the season with Husso. He got injured. Binnington was playing well. And again, at that point, you're looking to shake anything up you can. And Binnington came up, and I think in hindsight, Craig did a great job that he doesn't get a lot of credit for, was not putting Binnington in right away. He gave him a couple weeks to learn the NHL, be around practice, and then when he put him in Philly, he was more prepared than I think just throwing him in on, get off the plane from the American Hockey League and getting tossed right in. So he allowed him to get comfortable, and obviously Benner hasn't looked back. So it, he was a third-round pick for goaltenders, which is relatively high.
Yeah.
Played very good in junior hockey and had a decent minor league career numbers, but nothing that stood out yet, like he was going to be the guy. And that's what great stories are about. And Benner is a great story. You know, he's come in here. He's changed. I think like all young people are, he's matured physically, he's matured mentally, and he's made the best of this opportunity. And the thing that's exciting for us, it doesn't look like it's a mirage. Like when you watch him play, the saves that he makes hard saves look easy. He doesn't seem to be getting lucky. You know, not a lot of puck luck in his game. He just looks like a really good goaltender. And what he's done to date is great. We would like to see him finish off this year, and then next year will be a different challenge for him. But it's just a great story. They don't come around that often. It's great to see one in person.
Well, when you consider at some point in the last 18 months, you didn't even have a place for him in your minor league system, and you had to farm him out to the Bruins system.
Yeah, that was we didn't have our own minor league team for 1 year. We were sharing with Colorado that we got one goaltender. We put Husso there, and we had, every team wants to have four or five goalies under contract just in case of injury. And quite honestly, we couldn't find Benner a home. And I asked him, did he want to go down to the East Coast League to stay sharp? And he had said he was past that. Don Sweeney and I have a good relationship, and John Ferguson. So they said they could take him. And he went in there and actually played really well. Probably could have started a little bit more there, except he wasn't their property. And I would have done the same thing if I was the Bruins. They wanted to play their guy. They're developing in the American Hockey League. And so Binner's numbers probably didn't equate to the number of starts he could have received. Maybe it was our organization. But it just sort of adds another layer to a great story.
Hey, listen, there's one other rookie. We only got about 90 seconds, but a year ago, Robert Thomas was a star in the Memorial Cup. And now he has developed into a real vital cog in your offensive weapons, one of your top four guys on one of those four lines.
Yeah, for sure. And he's another player that when we drafted him, we thought we had a special player. Then he went back to junior, and he showed he was a special player. And there's not we try and let younger players develop in junior hockey, then usually a year in the minors. He's just a guy that pushed himself onto our team in 19. And again, coming off a high ankle sprain into the start of the season, it took him a little while to get going. Quick story, I asked him if he wanted to go play in the World Junior. We were sputtering. He said he had accomplished everything he wanted to in junior hockey. Memorial Cup champion, was back in the Memorial Cup, won a World Junior. And he said, I think I can play here, and I think he can help us turn this thing around. And again, another good story. And it looks like he's going to be a key piece of this franchise for a long time moving forward.
Well, this organization is just one big good story this year. And we congratulate you for that. And I know the city of St. Louis, my daughter lives in St. Louis, and I know they're all excited about the prospect of a Stanley Cup final. The task, as you know, does not get any easier. The Boston Bruins will be a formidable opponent, but we'll wish you luck. And I know you'll enjoy the ride over the next 10 days, 2 weeks, however long this takes. And congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. And thanks a lot for taking a few minutes for us today, Doug. We appreciate it.
Well, I always appreciate you guys having me on, and all the best, and we'll talk to you soon.